I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the IRTP Part D Working Group call on Monday, 11th March 2013. On the call today, we have James Slattery, Avery Doria, Kevin Erdman, Angie Graves, Volker Gremann, Barbara Knight, Bob Mountain, Michael Nealon, Mikey O'Connor, and Jill Titzer. We have apologies from Holly Raich, Alan Greenberg, and Bartlett Morgan. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Julia Chervalin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Julia, and welcome all. I note that James is on the call, so James, if you want to run the call, you're welcome to it, but otherwise I'll keep going. Whatever you want to do is fine.
No, I appreciate the help, Mikey. I'm in a very noisy place and may actually have to drop off. So.
Okay. Well, I'll just
for our discussion, I'll just be in the background this time around, if that's okay.
That's great. Okay. We'll take the standard pause to sort of run through the agenda and let folks break in to update their statements of interest. We're going to try and push out that input template and ACSO comments document today. We'll take a look at the approach, the work plan, and see how people feel about that. Marika and Lars have an update for us on some of the data from compliance and the ombudsman. And then I think all of those will likely go fairly fast. And so I think we'll try and spend a fair amount of time on number five, which is actually to start talking about, at a very high level, sort of the charter questions and how we want to approach that. And then at the very end, we'll kind of confirm the Beijing meeting agenda and time. Is there anything that people want to change or add to that agenda? Okay, and last call for statements of interest. All right, then. What you see on the screen in front of us is the draft, the ever so slightly modified draft of the input template and the letter for the AC and SO comments. And I didn't see a lot of commentary on the list. Does anybody have any particularly strong views that they want to put into this draft, or are we good enough to go ahead and release it into the wild? I'm not seeing any hands. So I think with that, Marika and Lars, you can consider this approved because we've had it out on the list for about a week so that people could review it. Michele. I'll stop and let you go.
Thanks, Mikey. Michele here. Just having a quick look over, and the reason I haven't replied to you on the list, unfortunately, Mikey, is because I've been up to my eyes with a multitude of other things. I think maybe it might be helpful just to link to what the hell IRTP is, because unless you actually understand what the inter-registrar transfer policy is and know where it is, you're going to be left scratching your head, which, registrars and registries know what it is, but others don't. And getting a comment out of those who are not registrars or registries is painful enough as it is without making it more painful. Thanks.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Surely there's a place in there that we could do that. James, go ahead.
Just a thought here, Mikey. Thanks, James speaking. Where we get down to questions A through F, was thinking that perhaps there could be a question G, which is, a catch-all. Any other views or any other opinions that don't fit into the categories laid out above? I know sometimes we want to direct the responses and the feedback as quickly or as narrowly as possible, but I think sometimes we also want to cast the net, and I think that maybe strikes a good balance.
Well, and this is the very last one of these, at least in this round, and so that
exactly. If we've missed something along the way, now it's your speak now or wait for the next 5-year transfer policy update process, right?
Yeah. That's not a bad addition. I like both of those. Any objections to either of those from the crowd? I'm seeing agreement from McKaylee on James's idea for the any other ideas. Bob is in. McKaylee, is that a new hand? That must be. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to elaborate on what James was saying, I think, you know, it might be worthwhile just putting that question in. The wording of it might be, I don't know, what was the wording that James used? It was something which struck me as a little bit obtuse.
It's something like, James, something along the lines of, do you have any other thoughts or feedback on these topics that don't fit into the categories defined above?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simpler. I mean, just something, again, I'm all for simple. I like simple. You know, do you have any other comments on domain transfers that you want to share or something? I don't know. But I do agree we need something just to capture that. Also, looking at the questions there, it would be very helpful to provide links to explain what the hell FOAs are and the TDRP and any other kind of ones.
The assumption there is that people are going to have the issue report in front of them where it's all pretty.
Yeah, but I'm working on the assumption that people have as little time to answer these things as I do, so making it as simple for them to do it as possible. I like just kind of laying things out very, very simply. It's part of my let's try to use fewer acronyms in ICANN, because when we know what the subject matter is, it's very hard sometimes to understand what the hell people are talking about. It's the kind of thing that, for example, the CCNSO would have a lot of experience with this area because they have a lot of different domain transfer models. But if you start talking about FOAs, they might not know what the hell you're talking about. Thanks.
I'll let Marika and Lars drive those in. Those don't seem like substantive changes. Volker's in on that. Anything else? Okay. Well, I'm going to call that done unless another hand goes up. And I don't think those are substantive enough changes that they need another week of review. Anybody disagree with me on that? They seem like incremental changes. Lars, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Lars. Just very quickly, shall I pull up the letter too? Because this is just the questionnaire, I suppose, and then we have got the covering letter too, which is a separate document, and I don't know how to put them both at the same time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just pulled that up.
Let's put this one to bed, and then, that's right. I thought they were all in the same. So last call on this one. Okay, go ahead, Lars. Why don't you bring up the other one? And then maybe let us independently view it so that we can scroll about. That would be great. There we go. Okay. Maybe similar commentary here. You know, all of the links ideas seem to apply. Yeah, Lars is already on that. And the additional question from James. Anything else? This is, you know, it's pretty much paralleling the other document. James, go ahead.
So this is a very, very minor nitpicky thing, but I just don't like the last sentence of the first paragraph. You are strongly encouraged to provide input or information. I would say something like, we would welcome input or information from you or your members or your respective communities or something like that. I feel like one is an order and one is an invitation. Thanks.
I'd consider that a friendly amendment. It makes it friendlier. Thus, it's got to be a friendly amendment.
And I don't know who wrote this. It might have been something taken from something that we've said, and if so, if it originated somewhere, you know, and I was the source of it, I apologize for wasting this time. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, no worries. Anything else that people see in this one? As I say, it's pretty similar. Okay, I think we'll call that one approved as well, subject to the same edits as the last one, Lars, as you said. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Mikey. Did I miss it, or have we got to just decide on a date, a return date, hopefully one that fits our plan and would be acceptable to everybody?
Yeah, I don't see it in the document. I think what we wound up with, though, was on the last call, we put that return date after Beijing. We decided it was pushing too hard to get this back pre-Beijing. So I think it was on the order of a week or so after Beijing. Lars, Marika, do you remember what we wound up with there? Go ahead, Lars.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a minimum of 35 days for the OSO.
Yeah.
And so it would be after Beijing, and then we'll calculate the day, and then we'll just put it in accordingly. But it's 35 working days at least.
Yeah, that was my recollection, is that we could just barely fit it in before, and it got too tight, and so we yielded to the inevitability and let it drop out after. And probably even if 35 days comes like 2 or 3 days after the Beijing meeting's over, it's probably not a bad idea to push it out another week, because people are traveling and it'll take.
Yeah, that's a
be ashamed to lose comments just because you know, it was too tight after Beijing. James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate or emphasize what you said there. Since we're already missing, not able to put it out in front of Beijing, it makes sense to just tack on whatever time folks will be spending in Beijing and just add that to the deadline, just in recognition that folks have enough documents that are going to flood on top of their inbox right as they were leaving from Beijing, and then they're going to be digging out from the documents when they get back from Beijing, and it just seems cruel to throw one more log on that fire. So if we can hold off, you know, even a week after, I think that would help.
Yeah. Okay. Those seem like reasonable instructions. I saw an agree check mark go by from Chris, who brought up the point. So thanks for bringing that up, Chris. Anything else on this one? Okay, I think we'll call these both done. Thanks, all. And I think then from here we're on to item number 3, which is the work group approach. And I'm sort of winging this, but I'm assuming that maybe we take a look at the work plan at this point. Is that the idea? When we put this one on the agenda, and if so, a copy of that up on the screen would be great. Give Lars a second. Yeah, there we go. There it is. This has been distributed, and we talked a little bit about it last week. As with most work plans, we probably want to focus on the near-term part more right now. And deal with the later bits later. But, you know, I think it's good to take a moment to just look this over again. Just to remind you of the color code, the orange things are sort of deliverable events, and I can't remember what the yellow ones are. They're checkpoints. And I'm not remembering why we have the one on 15 April.
Thanks.
Oh, James, go ahead. Sorry.
So the orange items, sorry, I tried to raise my hand, but my Adobe Connect is very slow right now. It's my fault. But the orange items were, you know, major events, document deadlines, or things of that nature, milestone events. And then the yellow were work plan check-ins. I think we also highlighted in orange, I believe we also highlighted the meeting deadlines as other milestones for ICANN meetings. So those are just roughly what the colors mean. And I think that what we had to do today, looking up, was just to kind of sign off on this. And I don't, you know, I think we've had ample opportunities for folks to weigh in if there were any changes or concerns. So I think, for the most part, everybody's good with this.
Yeah, well, that was sort of my sense, was that we felt like this was a pretty good first cut at a work plan. Work plans are often changed, but that this was, at an overall level, a pretty good approach. And so I'd be quite happy to sort of skip through this. None of these things are ever cast in stone. It's really more the structure of the work than anything else. And so I think, unless somebody's got strong views one way or the other, we'll not dwell on this one today. And move on to the item number 4, which is the data from ICANN compliance and the ombudsman. And I think we have to hand this over to Lars and Marika for that one, because they're the ones that had the action. Who wants to take that? Marika? Mars?
Hi there, this is
Marika.
Marika, you go ahead.
Okay, I can talk about compliance. We actually reached out to, this is Marika, we reached out to our compliance team and have asked them for input and some data on the charter question. And they've said that they should be able to come back to us, I think, in the next 2 weeks. So hopefully we'll have some data for you shortly. And I think Lars can give you an update on the outreach we did to the ombudsman.
Okay. Lars?
Hi there. Yeah, just I reached out to Chris with a similar question that Marika did with compliance. Chris, the ombudsman, I'm sorry. And he got back to me fairly swiftly. Obviously, his record is less the details for this than you would expect from compliance. And so he had a look about what kind of complaints there were in general about people who had issues with transferring their domain in the widest possible sense. And the numbers, I just pasted them on the chat because it's easier to copy and paste them just to tell you. It's about 20 this year, and there's never been more than 50 over the past 8 years, it seems, to the office. But none of them, it seems, I've asked him to clarify, but he hasn't gone back to me, have referred to specifically to the IRTP. There were other general complaints to him. And that's all I have from him so far.
Well, but that's useful. I think that what would probably be helpful is, to the extent that our charter questions can be lined up against those complaints, and you know, sort of align them with the charter questions, that would be one more way to sort of line these up. Marika? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Some of the additional feedback we got as well from the Ombudsman is that normally, you know, those kind of complaints he would actually pass on to our compliance team. So normally those items, you know, if not resolved before they were handed over to the compliance team, should also come up on those data. So I'm not sure whether we otherwise will be duplicating, because I think the Ombudsman doesn't, you know, track or, how do you say, tag probably the complaints in the same way as the compliance team does, where they do try to identify to which issue it specifically relates and you know, which policy it affects. So, so I'm not really sure if you're trying to detail that information further, if that would actually duplicate what we're already getting from compliance as well.
I think that's a fascinating question from several standpoints. One is the double counting kind of question that you're raising. Another one is sort of a process improvement thing, just to make sure that the complaints aren't dropping between the cracks. But I'm not sure that's in our charter to chase. So just sort of a heads up to the compliance and ombudsman folks that it would be nice to know that there weren't any gaps between the two of them in terms of the handoff of those complaints. Because I agree, we don't want to double count them, for sure. Any other thoughts about this topic? All right, I think what we'll do then is keep moving. But many thanks, Lars and Marika, for staying on top of that and sort of keep us informed as that process unfolds a bit. We'll want to make sure that we capture that information and pull it back into the relevant charter questions as we go here. Unless there's anything else on that, I think we'll move on to then item number 5, which is the charter questions and the discussions of how to tackle them. And I could use a favor from Julia, Lars, or Marika. If somebody could promote me to a host or a good presenter, it's fine. What I'll do is I'll do another one of these mind maps of mine. And take notes on the screen in front of us as we go. And just go through the motions here. Get that going. A couple more clicks and I'll be in business. It looks like that's big enough to read. Sing out in the chat or something if it's too small. And then I could use another favor, and that is to paste the charter questions maybe in a note on the other side of the screen just so I can copy and paste them in. I'm starting to get enough balls in the air that it's getting a little complicated to go look up the charter right now. The thought on this section was to actually begin at a fairly high level, a discussion of each charter question, just to get an initial sense of the group and an initial sense of things that we might want to explore. And while all the questions are showing up, if somebody could just rattle off the first one for me so I can get it in here, that would be really helpful. James, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't have the first charter question handy, but I had a question for you and for the group. Last time around, we did a primer on transfers in general and how the process works. And I think that we talked about doing something like that again with the disputes. Was that correct? Maybe this is a charter question zero, is do we need some background on these things first before we can dive into the issues associated with the mechanism?
That's a good question. You know, we had that on the agenda last time. And... No, Maybe it wasn't on the agenda. It was just in the work plan. That was probably it. You know, we had a work plan item to determine training and information requirements, and then nowhere in the work plan did we actually have a training session or information requirements session. So maybe this is coming back home to roost, and seems like a good idea to me. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Some of you may recall that I think that was an IRTP, I don't know if it was part A or B, but we did actually have at that stage a presentation that I think was given by the name escapes me now, but actually someone that was working for Newstar but has since left. So we do have slides that were also included in the initial report, or the preliminary, or the final issue report, sorry. I'm completely confused there. James is saying C, no, but actually on the TDRP, I think that was earlier. I think that was at when we were talking about some other process. I don't remember what. I think it was A or RB. But there are some slides there, and I think at that stage there was a feeling that maybe, or was done by a registry rep, as they are involved in the process. So maybe one of the registry representatives wouldn't mind maybe having a look at those slides and maybe using that as a basis. And then again, yes, James says it was Eric Brown. He's correct. So he gave that presentation, but maybe that's a good basis to start from. So I think maybe someone from the registry side might be able to either add to that or just provide that overview, and then it may be of interest as well to reach out to some of the providers that are involved in that. I don't think Christine is on the call today, but NAF is one of the providers, and I think as well the Asian Dispute Resolution Center is also a provider for the TDRP. So maybe they are able as well to provide from their perspective an overview of how it's done from their side, so that we maybe at least cover the TDRP side of things.
Thanks, Marika. Oh, I've got a bad feeling about my power. If I suddenly drop off this call, it's because the power just went out. We're in the middle of a blizzard here in my part of Wisconsin. So, James, you may get to take over whether you want to or not. Barbara, go ahead.
Hi, this is Barbara. Thank you, Mikey. I just wanted to say that, you know, as a registry rep, I'm happy to take a look at it. If somebody can make sure that they forward it over to me just so I know that I'm looking at the right document, then I'm happy to look at the processes.
Thanks, Barbara.
Sure.
Maybe we'll give Lars that action. Okay, thanks, James. Nothing like question zero. I love Rev Zero things. They're usually the most interesting. All right, so here are our charter questions. So let me just, I'm not sure how many of these we'll get through today, but that's not satisfactory, sorry. That's better. Easier to keep track of on the screen. So, taking a look at this one, it says whether reporting requirements for registries and dispute providers should be developed in order to make precedent and trend information available to the community and allow reference to past cases in dispute submissions. And one has to remember that some of these questions, well, all of these questions were developed quite some number of years ago. And in some cases, requirements have changed, et cetera. But the situation back, you know, for those of us who've been on these all along, we sort of have to cast our mind back to around 2007. And the state of the various agreements when we think about the context of these. So I think perhaps for almost all of these, one of the things that we're probably going to want to take a look at is something along the line of what has changed since this question was posed. I'll just put that in. Um, I guess I'm interested in the sense of the group. Is there anybody who has strong feelings against this idea, to the extent that these don't exist today? Quite frankly, I'm not sure whether reports like this exist yet or not. Maybe that's the first question. Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. This is Barbara. So I think it goes back to, I don't really have any a strong preference one way or the other relative to the reporting. But one of the things that I believe we had raised as the registry stakeholder group is whether or not it's still, in light of the new GTLDs coming on board, if it still makes sense for registry operators to even be a first-level dispute resolution provider, given that we're going to have a lot of registries out there that are going to have the requirement to have the ability to do this, but yet the likelihood of them actually seeing a dispute probably is pretty small. The brands especially, there's not going to be transfers typically in most of those cases if they've selected one registrar to register the domain names for them. So, I think the bigger question is when you're asking what's changed, should we have this or should we just go to an approach similar to what there is with the UDRP where you just have ICANN approved providers, if you will.
That is a fascinating question. And the thanks, Marika. The question, I guess, that's on my mind is whether that's in scope. It sounds like one we should think about. Given this is the last one, this is sort of the last chance. Barbara, for sure, it seems to me like that's a candidate for the any other comments section of the registry's response to our call for comments. And I'm wondering if we, I guess, I'm sort of looking to some of you older hands at this. James, Avery, given that this is the last one of this series, how do we want to handle what are very interesting questions that I'm just scanning this, the other charter questions to see if there's a graceful place in the charter questions to put that issue that Barbara just raised. And if not, I think what I'll do is I'll build a new I'm going to put this in our catch-all. I'll build a catch-all bucket for that for now so that we don't lose it. And we can sort of at our leisure puzzle our way through the scope thing. James, go ahead.
But just a thought here, recognizing that the pattern from IRTP A through C has been to collect or catalog any new ideas or questions or issues that we've identified along the way and either absorb them into our IRTP or tack them on to one of the other ones where we felt it was appropriate. I think this being the last instance of the IRTP working groups, I think we have to be very careful about doing that because, one, we could, it's a slippery slope to overloading this working group, and two, this is the caboose. There's no other cars coming down the tracks to throw these new issues onto. So I think we have to kind of balance those two considerations fairly fairly judiciously in determining whether or not we whether we add to this, the scope of the charter questions for this working group. And I would just come down on the side of only under extreme duress. Like, yep, we really can't proceed unless we resolve this question, or this is something that has come up since the original charter, or some other sort of very compelling case or criteria for adding on to the charter. Otherwise, I think we should guard it as jealously as we can within reason. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Yeah, it is tricky. I think we just have to right now acknowledge that it's tricky and sort of take these on a case-by-case basis. And Barbara, I think one of the interesting puzzlers that maybe the registries could help with would be to make the distinction between the number of registries and the number of registry back-end providers and the extent to which back-end providers would be doing most of the heavy lifting on this.
This is Marika. Could I be in the queue?
Sure. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, and this is Marika. This may actually be an item that may come up as well in the discussions on whether the procedure should be opened up to registrants. Because the thing may be linked to that discussion, there may be indeed a conclusion or linking it then indeed to the new GTLDs and many more registries coming on board and saying, well, with opening up to registrants, of course, there's a potential impact on the number of cases. And there you potentially could draw a conclusion and saying, okay, for that reason, you may want to indeed have only one set of providers and not actually involve full registries, for example. So I think it's an item that may in any case, or that specific item, come up in other items for the discussion. And I think linked to that is as well the point we've made in the issue report is that in relation to the change of registrant policy, we actually didn't give any consideration in relation to that discussion on how disputes should be handled under that policy. So that is another item that will need to be reviewed in the context of the TDRP. So there may be a need in any case to do a broader review of what needs to be changed in the TDRP to accommodate, potential changes if the group would decide it would be opened up to registrants and how to accommodate as well disputes in relation to the change of registrant policy that may allow for, addressing some of the questions that come up. So I think, in conclusion, I think it's good to list those questions that we maybe initially believe are not per se in scope or maybe separate issues, but I think some of them may be pulled back in as we start deliberating on these items. And one other note I wanted to make as well, if you do come up with certain questions, as some have noted, that indeed there's no IRGPD or EVE foreseen at this stage, of course, there's always the option as well, should the group decide that it is a particular issue you would want to take up, but you don't see as part of your charter, to actually go back to the GNSO Council saying, well, we've uncovered this really big gap that we do believe we can solve relatively easy within our mandate, so we would like to suggest to add that to the charter. So that's also an alternative approach you could consider depending on the issues you're identifying.
Yeah, I think we're on the right track, documenting the caboose, et cetera. Let's see. Barbara, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Barbara again. I think the main reason we felt that it belonged here is because so many of the charter questions in this particular PDP are related to the transfer dispute and potential modifications to that dispute. So I think we felt that it does belong in this PDP. And, obviously when this, all of these questions even came about, it was a very different world than what we're looking at, beginning this year with the large number of registry operators. As far as how many of the registry operators will have back-end service providers that would be able to provide this for them, that is a very good question. I know that from our perspective, we plan to deliver, technical services, not necessarily policy-related services. That's not to say that all, and I'm speaking, from VeriSign's perspective, that's not necessarily to say that all, registry back-end service providers, are going to go that route. I think, some may be willing to do some additional policy administration type work as well, but that's definitely feedback that I can get from the registry stakeholder group to see what at least those operators that are doing back end registry services would be offering in this line.
Thanks, Barbara. I think that, you know, I think that this is great. I think we're sort of on the right track of, let's not lose track of this. It's clearly something that's important to a lot of people. It may or may not fit. You know, I'm drawn to your point about the number of charter questions that deal with the TDRP, and it's true that all of those were swept into this this piece of IRTP for a reason. And so that sways me in that direction. I don't want to linger on this today. Clearly, this isn't one we're going to solve today, but I think it's terrific that we've captured it. If we go back to the charter question that we were working on, is there anything else that falls out of that, sort of like that question of Barbara's did, that people want to mention right now? Because clearly that was a very productive discussion we just had about the question of Barbara's. I guess I'm reluctant to try and get a sense of the group right now. We'll sort of wait for that. Let's move on to the next one, unless there's something. Sorry for the jumpy screen. That was due to a million tons of snow going off the roof and causing the power to flicker. This is one, it's Bob, you're still on the call. Yeah, good. James is not, by the way. I think, Bob, you were saying something about more data, right? Isn't this one that you wanted maybe to see if we really had a problem to solve at all? Or am I just
this is Bob. Thanks, Mike. This was, I think, in general, that was my request, that before we go diving into solutions, that we, to take some kind of measurement as to what the degree of the problem is. I'm not sure if it was necessarily for this one specific issue. I think my comment was more in general, but, that said, I think I would agree that this one probably would fit well into that.
Yeah, I think this one works better for that than, say, the first one, because, I'm not sure that there's a recordable event associated with inadequate reporting that we can point to and say, 213 people were frustrated by bad reports in 2012, whereas this one, I think, is somewhat easier to get some documentation for. Does that sort of fit with your view, or are you thinking that even data for charter question A would be useful, Bob?
Let's see. I think B is definitely quantifiable. And I guess the trick is, pursuing the stakeholders to get the data back, and to what degree they're willing to expose those numbers. Probably anonymizing it is key, like I think we did the last time. I'm just rereading A just to see if that's probably not as much of a problem as a sentiment as to whether it needs improvement. We're hypothesizing that it does here. Do we go out to the stakeholders and confirm that? Do we poll them? I guess that would be probably a slightly different way to get the data, but it's still I think a valid approach. Yeah.
Oh, that's an idea.
My opinion. Yeah.
Um, I think that the anonymizing, clearly is going to be. Oh, sure, I can spell anonymizing.
I don't know if that's a real word, anyways.
Good, then I don't have to worry about spelling it wrong. One of the big drawbacks to this particular outliner is that it doesn't have spell checking in it. And I've never been any good at spelling, so this is really putting me in a difficult spot. Anything else about this one? This is one that's a big deal for me, not necessarily to change the TDRP, but just to continue to address the multiple transfer domain hopping thing. So, this is personally one that I'm interested in. But I think this is also a good candidate for the remember how much times have changed discussion, because it may be that some of the other things that we've done have improved this, et cetera, et cetera. So, that's kind of my initial reaction to that. Bob, go ahead.
This is Bob. Yeah, I guess the question I would have on this one is, my understanding is the concern is around registration hopping and
right.
moving away to people who are harder to reach. So if we are to get data, I assume we're really talking about getting data from the people who are on the early part of that, the established and traditional players.
Right.
It's going to be harder to get data from the from the people who are down the line on the hopping. I'm assuming. I think we just probably need to set expectations on how far the trail goes with getting feedback on this particular one.
Yeah, and I would think that actually those registrars that are early in the chains are the registrars who are dealing with a customer who calls them and says, yikes, my domain has been stolen. But you're right, the data we get will tend to be biased. So maybe that's the thing to acknowledge.
I guess to follow up, I'm not sure. It might be we might not have the entire chain documented. We might just have the initial departure or the first couple of hops. So I'm not sure if biased or
incomplete, maybe.
Indicative, but not complete, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kevin. I just wanted to chime in on this one, is that I thought that this would be one where I think having data would be very pertinent, because we have this image that there's somebody out there that's hijacking a lot of domains and they're skipping them around in order to avoid post-transfer figuring out who it was that took the domain. And while we have anecdotal evidence of that, I don't know that we have real good statistical evidence. So I'm wondering if this is a problem that's more in the line of somebody lets their domain drop out and then it starts getting hopped and they're trying to figure out how to get it back, rather than an actual hijacking event. So that's where I think just having real data from somebody would clarify this a whole lot more than us speculating about it for a long period of time. That's my comment.
Yeah, that's a good comment. And it's too bad James isn't on the call, because I think I pinged him either offline or in a private chat, because I was curious whether this was going to be impossible data to get. And if so, then what needs to be, you know, then we need to think about how we're going to handle that. And the sense that I got from James was that he thought that he would be able to get some sort of data on these lines. Clearly, they would have to be anonymized, and clearly, they would have to be masked in such a way that it didn't give away, say, the number of hijacking events a year at GoDaddy, and presumably that issue would be the same for any registrar, that, you know, you don't want to be announcing to the world precisely how many times domains are hijacked. So I think there's a puzzler in terms of how to mask that data, but I think there's a willingness to try and figure that out. It's just my kind of, I hope I haven't put words in James's mouth. He can beat me up on the next call. Barbara, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Barbara. So, you know, I can say from a registry operator's perspective, the number of disputes that we're getting now, and we probably get more than any of the other registry operators, is very, very small. And those that have multiple hops, if you will, those are, you know, those are obviously a subset. So I think in order to get any sort of meaningful data, we would have to get it from the registrars. And I'm not sure how, you know, how the registrars track it and whether or not they would be able to, you know, just even give us, you know, some high-level numbers of how many issues that are raised to them for resolution that they, you know, that did have the multiple hops. I'm not sure how you get a number that's going to be, you know, meaningful.
Well, we may wind up with a situation, and again, I think what I want to do is capture this point, but wait until James, at a minimum, and some of the other larger registrars are on the call to sort of work through this. Because I think that the answer that you would get from a registrar like GoDaddy is, yeah, this happens. It happens enough that we're concerned about it. And then the question is, you know, how do we document that sufficiently? And so I think the main thing that I wanted to get on this point was that this is a good candidate for that kind of data if we can figure out how to develop it. Volker, go ahead. Oh, the masked stranger is gone.
Yes.
Volker's back.
You have unveiled my identity now, so prepare for punishment. No, I wanted to go into this as well. We see a couple of those complaints each year. I don't think it's more than one a month. But for us as a registrar, it's very hard to recognize a hijacking attempt from any other transfer, because what we see is a transfer, first and foremost, where we have everything that's involved in a normal transfer to be correct. So we have a confirmation on the FOA, and we have the correct auth code, and then we have a third party complaining that there has been a hijack, and mostly the former registrar saying, yes, we've had this complaint that there was a hijack, but we can't provide any evidence to that effect. So for us as a gaining registrar, it's very difficult to determine, is this actually a hijack and how do we deal with that? And I haven't really found an all-inclusive answer to that yet.
Yeah, and that says to me that there's the opportunity to... no, I'm not going to go there, actually. I could explode our scope. Never mind. somebody else was in the queue, but they dropped out, and that's lovely because it's 3 minutes till the top of the hour. And so, Avery's hand went up, that went down. Avery, you want to chime in with something quick before we wrap up? I do note that anonymized is in the dictionary, and I did misspell it, so there you go.
I don't think I ever put my hand up. I didn't spell
up. My hand going down.
Okay, never mind. Oh, Bob's hand is up. Okay.
My hand was up. Thanks, Mikey. My hand was up. I was going to start jumping into the rat hole of survey structure and questions, but I thought
No, we're not going there.
No.
Save that rat hole for another day.
Yeah, right, that tar pit. But hey, are we going to talk about the ICANN face-to-face meeting before we finish up today?
Yeah, I'm going to give it about 2 minutes, and starting right now. The plan at this point is that we're going to do it at 7:30 in the morning on Wednesday, breakfast, hopefully treats of some sort to bribe people to show up. It will be a working meeting with a little pair of bookends to sort of introduce the topic at the beginning and take questions at the end, but we will do this in a similar way to the ones that we did. I think the one in Brussels was the working meeting. So there won't be a big fancy slide deck. We may steal some material out of the initial report just by way of introduction for people. So that's kind of the sketch that I have in my head. Anything on your mind about that, Bob? Yeah, go ahead. All right. Your hand's up.
Yeah, do we want to invite outsiders then, or is it just going to be a working group, strictly internal meeting?
I think it'll be a public meeting. We'll put it up in the schedule, encourage people to come. it is a great chance to give people an opportunity to speak to our charter questions. I don't think we want to miss that chance.
Yeah, I know. In Costa Rica, we were actively, trying to build attendance to that. So I'm not sure if it's that desirable where we should be doing that again, or if it's just post it and good enough. So,
I wouldn't think that these issues are quite as hot as the issues that we were dealing with in Costa Rica. That might be let's save that question for next time. Just because we've lost so many people already here at the top of the hour. Well, just I think that's it. It's 12 sharp here. And anything else on the Beijing meeting on people's minds? Yeah, only the diehards, especially on Wednesday after music night, gracious. That's good. Okay, I think that's it. Julia, you can wrap up the call for us. I thank you for your help today. And thanks all. I will not be on the call next week, probably, because I have jury duty. I may be able to monitor the call, but I certainly won't be leading it. So next week you'll have James back. See you soon. That's it for me. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.